Amen. Amen. All right. How many have their Bibles? Always ask you every time I share and I preach that you need to bring your Bible. It could be on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, but it's always great to have the Word of God. I'm kind of like Pastor Jeff. I like to hear the pages, you know, turning your Bible and whatever. But 3 weeks ago, I shared a message on the authority of the believer. The following week, Pastor Jeff shared a message on the authority of the believer. And what I'm going to do today is share with you another message. It'll be part three on the authority of the believer. And what Pastor and I have tried to do is to cover all the different aspects of this. Listen, you could preach for the next month on the authority of the believer and still not encompass everything that you'd need to know and that would help you to know just how much authority that you really have. So I'm going to cover this today, and there's a lot of great material that's here. If you picked up my lesson plan, it'll let you know some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Although last night and this morning, the Lord began to add some things in the introduction that I thought to be important. All right, look at Ephesians 4:27. Then we're going to go to James 4:7 and John 10:10. Ephesians 4:27, it said, now listen to it carefully. Now, you know, sometimes we read a scripture and after we have read the scripture, we don't think too much about it. I like to take the word and look at it from every viewpoint that I possibly can. And here we're looking at just a few words, but these few words tell us lots of stuff, good stuff. And here's what it says. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now, what does that say to you? Some people would say, well, it just says we're not to give place to the devil. Let me tell you what it says to me. When it says neither give place to the devil, that's sharing with us that God has given us the spiritual ability to not give place to the devil. Because a lot of people say, well, it's just too easy. I mean, I don't mean to do it. I just do it and whatever. I just don't think I have the power. Did you hear what it said? It said for you to neither give place to the devil. Well, you can't do that on your own. It takes God's help in order to equip you to not give place to the devil. Every day, you and I have opportunity to give place to the devil. Every day. And you make the wrong decision, that's exactly what you'll do. Now, we look at James 4:7, and it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the key there. I hear a lot of people quote that scripture, and it says, instead of saying, submit yourself, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, they'll just say, well, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You're missing a very important part. He says, submit. The first thing you ought to do, when the devil attacks you, the first thing you ought to do is submit yourself, therefore, to God. And then what? See, when you do that, now you're equipped. Now, when you submit yourself to God, what is it saying? You're submitting yourself to His Word. How many know that God and His Word are synonymous? You can't separate God from His Word. So you're going to submit yourself to God's Word, His promises, the authority that He's given you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then, now you're fully equipped. Then resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Now, if you look up that word flee, it means what? Means run in terror. How many of you here, now listen to me, now be honest. How many of you picture the devil being afraid of you when you have equipped yourself with the Word of God? That's what I thought. Amen. This message is for you. When you're fully equipped with the Word of God, I'm telling you the devil is afraid of you. That's what it says. He'll flee in terror. We have the name of Jesus, we have the Word of God, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, three powerful forces that have been given to us where we can bind and rebuke the devil, bind the forces of evil. He's given us that authority. Now, here's the problem. A lot of Christians don't know that. Here's the work of Satan, John 10:10. Listen to it. In John 10:10, it says, the thief. Who's the thief? Now, say it out loud. Now, sickness, poverty, that's not the thief. Satan is the thief. That's the outcome of the thief, what he's doing to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. The thief cometh not but to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your health, your money, your mind, your emotions, your marriage, your business. He's going to do everything in his power. And sometimes there are Christians that feel like that they can't help themselves in giving in to the enemy and not know that they have authority against him. Now, as I stand here today, I know what my authority is. Amen. If I ask you how many of you know how much authority you have, there'd be a lot of people say, well, I'm really not sure. Now, we're going to get into the particulars of that so you'll know just how much authority that you really have. Now, there's an aspect of all of this. There's an element that sometimes that we leave out, and that is the element of faith. Do you know that authority works on faith or by faith? Are you guys still out there, aren't you? I thought maybe I'd gone blind or something. And no, I'm telling you that it works by faith. Faith is an element, an important element that works the promises of God in our life. And often we never realize that. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? By the word of God. You're never going to have any more faith than you have knowledge of God's word. The greater your faith is, the more knowledge you're going to have of how much authority you really have. Boy, the time goes so fast. There was no clock back there, but now they bought one that's so big, you could be blind and read it. Now, don't look back there because you'll turn into salt if you do. I've looked at that thing. Where's the time going? Well, now listen to me. In the natural realm, we have no problems, for the most part, we have no problems understanding our authority. Now, how many's ever been interviewed for a job and you got the job and they gave you a job description? In that job description, we'll tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Now, there's a human faith that says, well, this is it right here. Look, this is what I can do and I can't do. And so you're going to operate within the confines of that authority, and you have no problems with it. Matter of fact, let's look at another aspect of the human side of this, and that is someone can give you a power of attorney. It can be someone that you're very close to. They trust you. They give you the power of attorney, and they give you the instrument there, which is a legal instrument that'll be upheld in any court. And you read it. It tells you all the authority you have, that you can write checks, you can buy, you can sell, you can do everything that individual has said that you can do. Now, in the natural, dealing with the natural aspect of life, we say, well, I have no problems with that. I have faith that I can do that. Now, why? Because he's given me this instrument, and this instrument says, this is all that I can do. I can do all of this. Matter of fact, anything that he could do, I can do for him because he's given me a power of attorney. Now, how many understand that? And in the human sense, we don't have any problem with it. But then when it comes to the spiritual aspect of life, and here Jesus Christ has given us the power of attorney, which is authority. It's the authority of the believer. His word spells out what we can do and what we can't do. Amen? It's all in this book called the Bible. If there was just one scripture that said what Luke 10:19 says, and it was the only scripture in the Bible, it'd be enough for me to know what I could do. Because it says, I give unto you authority to tread upon the serpent, the scorpion, that's Satan, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Now, did God mean that? Did he really mean that? You're going to have faith that God really meant that in your behalf before you're going to operate in the authority that God has given you. I'm kind of mad at the devil this morning. Is that okay? There needs to be a righteous indignation that rises up within us that comes against a lot of things. But I'm telling you, Satan is a liar. He's deceptive. The greatest weapon that Satan has is deception. That is to get you to believe that you have no authority whatsoever. Amen? And you have plenty of it. This book called the Bible, the New Testament, the last will and testament of our Savior, And we know what he's left to us, all the promises. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus Christ, when he died, he left us his will and testament of everything we could do. But he was resurrected from the dead and gave us a power of attorney. Because if you are given a power of attorney, it's no good after the person dies. But Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And we have that power of attorney in the scripture, the promises and everything. It tells us what we can do. And to make sure that this happens, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and me. He says, I'm going to see that it's done. So we've got to have faith in God's word. I thought about Abraham. Matter of fact, you can turn to Romans. This would be good to mark this in your Bible. But Romans, the fourth chapter, there was a time, Abraham was about 75 years of age whenever God called him and his family, Sarah, his wife, and for them to leave where they were at and then go to the promised land. He promised that to them. He said, wherever you place your feet, I'm going to give it to you. He said, those that curse you, he said, I'm going to curse them. He said, those that bless you, I'm going to bless them. And so we read that, but we don't realize it was 25 years later before Abraham really embraced the promise of the Father with faith. And here's what it says. Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 18. Starting there, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. How can you become the father of many nations whenever your wife is barren and she can't have children? And now she's beyond the age of having children. But now listen to it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not, it says, at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Say it out loud. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Now that's where God wants us to be, that no longer do we stagger at the promises of God. Listen, if God said it, then I believe it. Amen. And it's so easy for us in the natural to have a natural faith and even believe in what? In an individual. Well, that person, he would never lie to me. He would this and that. And yet when it comes to God, I mean, we think God's lying to us whenever he says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, ye were healed. That's past tense. I'll supply your every need according to my riches and glory. We think, well, that it works for some people, but it doesn't work for me. It's because something is missing, and that's faith in the promise. So if you want to move in the authority of the believer, you're going to have faith in God and embrace his word, embrace what the word of God says. And as you embrace it, all of a sudden that word will rise up within you. Amen. But Satan will try to deceive you still in any way that he possibly can and say, you have no power. I've had people say, well, listen, I know that the authority of the believer may work for some, but it doesn't work for me. I've tried it. I said, here's your problem. You're trying it instead of trusting. Faith has to do with trusting God. God, if this is what your word says and I embrace it, I believe it and I'm going to live it. I believe that God is doing everything he can to reveal to the body of Christ who they really are in Christ and what rights and privileges and authority that we have. But often we think it's working for everyone, but it's not working for us. And that's Satan's deception. Just very quickly, I'm going to give these to you. I want us to look at some things that will change your life. I like to expose the enemy. Amen. And we're going to do that in just six things here, just real quick. The first one, this is Satan's intent. And the first one is to capture your attention. What is it that captures your attention the most? Have you ever sat down at night or any time, early in the morning, and just kind of examined yourself and the things that really capture your attention? Is it money? I've had people say, well, listen, while I'm young, I'm going to do everything I can to make all the money that I can. You'll never be happy. I mean, even if you become a millionaire, you'll never be happy from the standpoint that you're spending all your time trying to make money. Is it money? Is it work? Insecurity? Time management? Procrastination? Is it sports? Is it activities? I mean, what is it that's captivating your time to where you don't have time for God? That's a question you've got to answer. Here's the second intent of the devil: to attack us when we're most vulnerable. Now, I've noticed this in my life as well. There are times in our life when things are happening. Maybe you've become discouraged. How many know that's a prime time for Satan to attack you? It could be discouragement, could be sickness. It could be your feelings being hurt by a fellow Christian, a loss of a loved one, financial problems. You've lost your job. I mean, the list goes on and on. And Satan is looking at those particular times. Whenever you become depressed or discouraged or whatever, you're the most vulnerable at those times. Do you know that Satan keeps you under surveillance all the time? Did you know that? You're under surveillance every day. He's looking at your life just waiting for an opportunity that he can destroy your life. Here's the third one: to create doubt. How many know that doubt is unbelief? Satan's strategy is to get you to doubt the Word of God. If he can say, well, get you to say, well, the Word seems to work for everyone else, but it doesn't work for me. I mean, you're operating in doubt. Doubt is unbelief. Doubt is a lack of faith. He knows that if he can accomplish this in your life, that he can make your life ineffective. And that's what he's trying to do every day. Doubt is a battle that all of us are sometimes faced with. You know, can God really do it? Even though his word says that, Satan is constantly questioning the Word of God. And the Bible says to do what? He says, whom resist? You got to resist him. Well, I'm tired, I'm wore out. Physically we can be, but spiritually we're to be strong at all times. Here's the fourth one. He tries to get us in a debate. How many know that you can't out-debate the devil? You can't do it. He's smarter than what you are. Amen. I made a statement one time. Someone got mad at me, saying that the devil knows more than what you do. He does in many regards. He's not omniscient and whatever. But I'm telling you what, he knows a lot more than what you know. But all you need to know is what God says. Amen. I think I made the statement, he's smarter than what we are. Well, he's in the spiritual realm and we're in a physical realm, and we're in a place where I forget what the word would be and whatever, that we have the ability to think beyond, things that would be in the spiritual realm that we have not experienced and whatever, and maybe we don't know anything about, but these are things that Satan knows. And he knows mostly, he can't read your mind. Now listen to me. He can't read your mind, but he can read your actions, and he listens to everything you say. That's the reason why the Bible says death and life from the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so here's the thing. How do we fight someone or an entity? How do we fight them with flesh and blood? You can't. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what? They're mighty through God. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Amen. Read Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and you'll find out that the battle is a spiritual battle, and we can only fight that with that which God has given to us. We've got to use that power and that authority that he's given us, our faith, to embrace the Word of God, because that's what the full armor of God is all about: the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with the truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we have the shield of faith, and we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive weapon that we have. You can't whip the devil in flesh and blood. Don't get in a debate with him. Just simply do what Jesus did and say, it is written. But when I say it is written, don't say it's written. No, tell him what is written. He says you're going to die. Well, we all know we're going to die someday, but he'll make you feel like you're going to die today. Whenever he says that to me, I just say, no, listen, Satan, go back and read Psalms 91 again. It says he satisfies me with long life and shows me his salvation. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Think about that. by his stripes. You can go to the Old Testament. It was spoken of and prophesied. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. But then we go to 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, and by his stripes ye were healed. How many know the price has been paid? Whenever it comes to healing, it already belongs to you. You don't have to come down here and kneel and in the sense of begging God. God, you know my situation. I need healing. He already knows all that, and the price has already been paid. What you need to do, now listen to me, is take authority over it. Amen. Anytime our kids would get sick, and Jill will tell you this. Anytime they'd get sick, first thing I did, I laid hands on them, rebuked the devil, his sickness and whatever, and a few other things I knew was in them. Laid hands on them and prayed. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Nothing wrong with medicine, whatever. I mean, thank God. It's all that's kept us alive till we've gotten over in faith. Amen. It's not wrong to do all that, but your faith has got to be in God. That's got to be number one. There's things that we've got to take authority over. Well, Satan is the one we've got to take authority over, and all that he throws our way. So we tell him what is written. This is what the Word of God says. I have every right to live this kind of life, that my every need will be met according to his riches and glory. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. Nay, in all these things I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me, speaking of Jesus Christ loving us. Here's the fifth thing, to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. His devices speaks of his schemes, his plans, all that he's, bringing together to bring against us. We shouldn't be ignorant of those things. We as believers should not be ignorant of all that Satan's going to throw our way. Listen, we've been here long enough. We ought to know a little bit about what he's going to bring our way. Winter's going to be coming on. Well, when winter comes on, we all get the flu, swine flu, Asian flu, bird flu, I don't know, all kinds of things that's going to happen. It's just going to happen, Pastor. You just better get ready for it. No, I start planning way before that time. Amen. I can see you guys are really excited about this. We ought to get excited. Look at 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, there's all kinds of deceptions that's out there. Satan's going to do everything he can to make you believe that you're to live a life of worry and fear and discouragement and depression and whatever. He'll make you believe this is just my plight in life. My mom and dad, they live this way. This is the way I'm going to live. Listen, when I was a kid, I decided, and I wasn't even a Christian, I decided I'm not going to live in poverty. I'm not going to live in poverty. Now, I'm not saying that there may not be things that challenge us at times and whatever, but I mean, when I was a kid, we literally lived in poverty. And some of you sitting out here that be my age or older, you know what I'm talking about. But we didn't know that because everyone else was lived that way. It wasn't until I became a born-again child of God that I realized that, hey, I don't have to live in poverty. As a kid, I'd get to Sears and Roebuck catalog. How many remember that? I'd start marking things that I wanted. One of these days, I'll have this and that. What? I'm just a kid. But Satan's going to make you believe that you have to live in poverty, that your bills aren't going to be paid, you're not going to have enough money to live and survive and whatever. Listen, the devil is a liar. God said, I'll supply your every need according to his riches and glory. When it comes to healing, learn to stand on the word of God. Listen, sickness and disease comes against everyone. But don't sign for it when it comes to your door. It's like, oh, okay, here. People just sign for it. No, don't do it. God has given you authority to take over the enemy and sickness and disease that would come against you. I know this is a hard part of all this because we have people all the time that are dying with sickness and diseases and all kinds of things, and we're wondering, does this really work? I'm telling you, it really works. We took a couple of days off. We went down to Ponca City. That's where I was born and grew up in Kildare, Oklahoma, where a lot of people don't know where that's even at, but it's between Ponca City and Newkirk. little old town. But we went back and took one of our daughters where she could, and my grandson, where they could see where I grew up and all of these different things. And we took our aunt with us. She's 97 years old. It's my dad's sister. 97, still drives as sharp as anyone can be. And she says, I give, not sick in any way, she says, I give all the glory to God. Amen. She knew what it meant to stand upon the Word of God. She's been in church all the years that I can ever remember, loving God and whatever. Don't be deceived. Here's number six. It brings division as well. Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom, this is his intent, Satan's intent. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. What is one of the biggest things that Satan does in the church? He brings division. You know why churches have church splits? Because of division. How can we stop division? There are churches, I can guarantee, every year or every couple years, they're going to have a church split. You know, many of the churches that are started over church splits. I mean, you wonder how in the world, I mean, somewhere they need to repent. That's what I think. And of what they've done, because there was ill feelings and whatever. Well, we don't have anything to do with that. And so they go off and they start their own church and whatever. That wasn't the reason why we started the church here. We had a mandate from God. There was no Pentecostal church here in Choctaw, whatever. And we felt like that's what we needed. And so that's what we did. But there was no ill feelings or anything towards anyone. We just did what we knew that God wanted us to do. But many churches are started from splits. This is the reason why we got to operate in love. As we operate in love, you'll find that a lot of things will begin to happen in your life. Listen, here's what division does. Division will bring conflict, it brings misery, it brings confrontation, it brings destruction, and all kinds of things that affects all the members and diverts us from the real message of love in 1 Corinthians 13. So these are the things Satan comes against us on. Now, let me close with this. How to combat the attacks. I like to give you a scenario of what Satan is doing, but now, how are we going to combat this? Let me give you four things real quick. Number one, identify the enemy. Who is the enemy? Say it out loud. Satan is the enemy. You can't fight the enemy effectively until you know who the enemy is. We often fight the symptom rather than the cause. This may be new to some of you, but do you know that lying and stealing and killing, drug addiction, homosexuality is not the real enemy? Amen. Satan is the real enemy. Amen. These are all byproducts of Satan. Identify the enemy. I mean, it's not a matter of just rebuking sickness. It's rebuking and binding the forces of evil, Satan, that's bringing these things to your life. Discouragement, fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? He said of power, love, and a sound mind. Is that where we live today? No, we get up in the morning and we even fear to walk out of our home, you know, and get in the car thinking, could we have an accident or could this happen and that happen? Listen, our whole faith and trust has got to be in God. Here's the second thing. Stay prepared. Identify the enemy. Stay prepared. Your enemy is always prepared, and you must be as well. Can you imagine a football team not being prepared to go out for a football game? No, they have to stay prepared. You know, you don't get in shape for the first game, and then after that, you don't have to practice anymore. Just come out. We'll do our best. That's the way a lot of Christians are. No, you've got to stay prepared. Many Christians lose the battle because of a lack of preparation. Be constant, in tune with God, and keep alert at all times. First Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's seeking. He doesn't know who he can devour yet, but he's seeking. All he's got to do is listen to you talk or your actions and whatever, and then he knows your vulnerability at that time. Be prepared. Stay prepared. Here's number three. Deal with it immediately. How many have ever had the idea that if I just leave it alone, it'll go away? Let me ask you, did it go away? No. What happened? It grew bigger, didn't it? Don't ever have the idea. It reminds me, there was an old saying, I've known this since I was real young, that I don't know if this ever happened or not, or if it does happen, but they said an ostrich would go and stick its head in the sand, and as long as it couldn't see its surroundings, they thought everything was okay. That's what a lot of Christians have done. Stuck their head in the sand. Well, if I can't see it, it don't exist. No, I'm telling you, it still exists. You're just not prepared, nor are you aware of it. Deal with it immediately. The most critical moment of decision is when Satan initially attacks you, and procrastination certainly is an enemy. Here's number four. I close with this. Depend on God and His Word to help you. Now listen, you've heard me say this many times. It is the truth of God's Word that sets you free and keeps you free. I can't emphasize enough how important God's Word is. John the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, listen to it, if you continue, how many know if you read the Bible one day and you wait another week or two before you read it, how many know that that's not continue? He says, if you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Okay, only the truth you know has the ability to set you free. If you don't know the truth, you can't walk in liberty and freedom and health and all the things that God wants us to walk in. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are things we face in life that are certainly bigger than us, but they're never bigger than God. And you know that God has equipped each and every one of us, every one of us, given us everything that we need as a believer to have authority against anything and everything Satan would ever throw at us. I believe that with all my heart. Too many Christians depend upon themselves. Well, I'll try to solve my own problem, or I'll get someone else that maybe can help solve the problem, whatever. Listen, Satan doesn't want you to be a productive Christian. He wants you to doubt God. When things come your way, he wants you to feel sorry for yourself. This is just my plight in life. But I'm telling you, it's not. Ephesians 4:27 again, neither give place to the devil. We don't have to be ignorant of his plans and schemes and traps. We can live in victory. I believe that with all my heart. I want you to believe it because that's God's word. Listen, God didn't save us to be miserable. Pastor, if you went around miserable all the time, you think people would want what you have? They say, this is what Christianity is all about. No, as Christians, we ought to exemplify the very power of Almighty God. We ought to be seeing signs and wonders and things happening. You want to fill a church? These are things that we ought to be seeing. Amen? And we can do it. Come on, stand with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, this is always a tough message. I meant, when you're talking about the authority of the believer and healing and blessings and all that, but this is all the promises of God are what? The Bible says they're all yea and amen. That means it's already said, it's done. We've got to learn to stand on the word of God. How many of you are truly saved and born again? Isn't that wonderful? Even with all the trials and tribulations that come our way, and they will come, I want you to know you can stand in victory in the very middle of all that comes your way.